T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. By the way, after Bo Camber, we have some breaking NBA news for you as well. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Kim Bo Camber going to join us right now. Bo, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jack. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, Bo, kind of a weird one. A week before, we heard Josh Rosen be the starting quarterback the rest of the year. I know you're around Coach a little bit. Were you surprised, or did you expect it after the way Fitzpatrick played last week?
Well, it's funny. I think things are kind of moving along day to day, because I think Monday, I was there at his Monday press conference, and he was I wouldn't say it was a rousing commitment to Rosen for the rest of the year, but he said that, no, I expect Rosen to be the starter this week and continue on with our plan there. And then all of a sudden you find out that Daniel Kilgore is not going to play probably, and you're going to reshuffle that offensive line. And I'm not sure that maybe that didn't have a little something to do with the decision to bring in Fitzpatrick in this situation.
Right. That's a good
Seeing
point.
As how he handled the pass rush last week as opposed to how Josh Rosen handled the pass rush last week. But now there are two different scenarios there. You know, I asked Josh after the game, you know, what was the difference about, you know, the pressure on him early in the game? I think they had 5 sacks in the first quarter of the game. And then when Fitzpatrick got in, he said, well, you know, they'd gone to a little softer zone and a little more prevent-type defense, allowed the ball to move down the field. But I think you could see in that game, you know, they were still putting pressure on Fitzpatrick. But he was able to find those little seams to kind of sneak out of and throw the football down the field and make something happen. And so I think that combination may have had something to play into it, because it's, you know, for a coach on a Monday to say that, no, this is our guy, and then on Wednesday to say, no, I think we're going to go in another direction. Something had to jump out to them during that time.
Well, I'm not making excuses for Josh Rosen, because he did make some bad plays. But you've played the defensive side of where you beat the crap out of a quarterback, and all of a sudden – He gets a little gun-shy during the game from all the hits that he took, especially in that first quarter. You think it affects quarterbacks and the rest of the game when you pound on them pretty good?
I think it does. I think it was either the first or the second play of the game where, you know, I think Dieter whiffed on a guy, and the guy was in his face before he could even plant his foot to even think about throwing a football. And I think when that happens, it does stay with you. And then, you know, like I said, 5 sacks. You know, early in that game. And yeah, it's going to weigh on a quarterback. They start kind of hearing footsteps, and they want to get rid of the ball quicker. And so, yeah, especially a young guy. But I think what you saw with Fitzpatrick when he came in was just that, you know, what a guy with that much experience, you know, what he can do, how his ability to move around, his ability to figure out the pressure and kind of counteract it a little bit, you know, was pretty clear, I think, for everybody to see.
Bo, it's like spinning the Wheel of Fortune wheel for offensive linemen, putting them in and out every single week,
goodness.
Right? That's what it is. Now, Joe came in on Monday, and the first thing we started talking about was the offensive line. And one of the guys that I was kind of high on the first couple weeks that kind of looked all right, you know, Dieter, and it looked like he had a really bad game over the weekend. That's not good for the development, right? I mean, I know it's a long season, and one game's not going to do anything, but going backwards, not exactly what we want the rookie to be doing right now.
No, it's one of those games where you're kind of looking at him, and I think every week they're seeing a little bit growth out of him, and they're seeing him do some good things, and then all of a sudden, you know, he has a game like he had on Sunday, and now you start saying, well, maybe we can't count him as much as we could count on him before, and so maybe you start trying to cover things up. But, you know, I feel like I'm a broken record every week, because everyone's like, well, you know, what's going to happen? How's it cool? Well, I said, well, if the offensive line, which is going to be changed again this week, it looks like, for the 6th straight game, they will not have played with the same 5 guys on that offensive line at the same positions. You know, it's that when I look at this entire football team, that in particular is the biggest impediment to them winning football games. And not only winning football games, but being somewhat effective offensively for 60 minutes. You know, like we saw, they could do nothing early in the game. And then, you know, it took till the fourth quarter, you know, for Fitz to make something happen. By that time, the game is, you know, fortunately it wasn't out of reach because of the team we were playing. But, you know, you transpose that to Buffalo, in Buffalo, with that crowd,
right.
Kilgore out, all the noise, and they've got, you know, what's it, the kid Jordan Phillips who's salivating. You
know, he's
salivating to beat down the quarterbacks and a very good defense they're playing against, and another shift change in that offensive line, and my gosh, it could be a tough and a very long day on Sunday.
Bo, that's a great point you make. Fitzpatrick honestly makes a lot more sense. You're talking about making the line reads and everything and helping that O-line out. That's a great point. I want to ask you about Mark Walton. Did that surprise you that he started and how much he played?
Yeah, it did. It did, but you could kind of feel the rumbling during the week. There was a lot of conversation about, you know, on Monday, I know Coach Flores talked about, you know, Mark Walton and how well he played, and Chad O'Shea was talking about giving him more opportunities during the week and everything, and so it wasn't surprising, but you know, you kind of scratch your head on it a little bit, not so much because Mark Walton's starting the game, but what does it say about Kenyon Drake and Kalen Ballage?
Right.
That you put him as your premier guy. That to me is more of the question that you wonder if they lost faith in. It almost seems like they've lost faith in Ballage after two lackadaisical efforts catching the football, one leading to a pick six, the other one to a drop ball that probably could have given him an important first down in the game. He seems to have been put on the back burner, and Kenyon is now seems like, you know, if you read into it. Would lead you to believe that Kenyon Drake is his stock is not rising right now.
See, I just feel Kalen Ballage, as you know, Bo, we look at him, one of the greatest football bodies of all time. 6'2", between 230 and 240 pounds, and can outrun just about anybody on the team. Freakish talent. We got to get him going. I don't know how we get him. He's in a funk. He obviously knows how the team feels about him right now. Isn't it the coach's job to kind of get him going a little bit and find out? I don't know.
And then I think they've got to give him some shots. They've got to give him – look, he obviously knows where he's at right now. He always obviously understands that, you know, moving forward with his career, they're starting – you know, the questions – I remember watching him at the end of last season. Man, how could we have kept that guy out all this year? When he could do that? And so maybe you're starting to see reasons why they kept him out for the majority of the time last year. But, the guy's got everything you look for. I mean, it was a 75-yard run where he ran away from people. He was a bruising running back. Oof. And now he's just, you know, the thing that when you see a guy drop balls, easy ball, once, okay. But a couple times in those situations, you start just wondering what his focus is on the game. And you wonder if that's what's affecting him. But, well, he certainly is a guy that you know, when you look at him, you go, man, this guy's got to be a beast out there. And then you're just not, much like everybody on this team, you're not seeing it on a consistent basis.
Right.
And that's one of the big issues with this team is consistency. Even at the positions where you feel good at, wide receiver, running back, you're starting to feel a little bit about tight end, secondary, you see some positives coming out of each and every one of those units, but there is no consistency anywhere across the board on this football team. I think if you were going to say who's been the most consistent, it would probably be the linebackers. And other than that, you know, you get a whole mix of inconsistency. And who's going to be the down group this week?
Right.
And who's going to be the up group if we have an up group?
Bo, we were talking about the tease. It could be really fun if it can work out because Taco's been pretty damn good since he's been here. How about Kim Dichie? He practiced for the first time. When do you think he'll be ready to go, Bo? Because if this guy comes in motivated like the Taco Man, We could have something.
Yeah, well, I think he was way out of shape when he came here. And it's and I think this whole time period for him is about just getting him in football shape. You know, just getting his first practice in, I would still think, Joe, that he's got to be a week or two away. Yeah. You know, maybe next week they feed him a few downs. I don't know. But I just think for the pace that he got himself ready to play, one practice, two practices this week, but look, you got to kind of throw convention out of the window these days with this team. I mean, that would be under a normal circumstance. But you're getting no pass rush from your defensive ends. You're getting no pressure from hardly anybody on that defensive front. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just, I'm saying probably a week or two. But, how it is, Joe. We could wake up on Sunday morning, jump on the bus and go, hey, and he's starting today.
Yeah.
Go, what?
You never know, man, on game day around here.
Right? You never know. No. You know, it's like that old soap opera. As the world turns, everything changes.
As the starters turn, that's what it's going to be here. By the way, side note, Jordan Phillips got 4 sacks this season. The Dolphins have 5. Yeah. Not that I want to throw that out there to the Dolphins' world right now.
Taco Charlton's been with us for 3 weeks, and he's our leading sacker.
Yeah. Well, someone texted in the other day, Taco Charlton's done more in 4 weeks than Charles Harris done almost 4 years. So, like, there it is also. Yeah. I mean, not that we're piling on. But
he just did. You did a pile-on special right there.
Well, I'm piling on because I'm getting ready to go to Bo's Beach. Where are we going to Bo's Beach? What are we doing after?
Are you going to the pub or the beach?
I think I'm going to go to the beach. I think I'm going to Bo's Beach. What do we got going on at the pub or the beach?
Well, the weather's getting perfect. I mean, this is perfect time to be at the beach. And, like our other place, we've got plenty of TVs there, so you got some there. But the pub's got a little bit of a – pub's got a little rowdy attitude during games, It's a fun place to go, and got some good specials out there. And it's it's hard to pick between the two.
Right.
It's whatever you choose. If you're a beach guy, go to the beach. If you want to get in, and we've been getting some pretty crazy crowds in there at the pub, so – whatever you're looking for, we got.
Or you know just Bo Camper Sports.
You know what's
bar,
funny,
right?
Bo? When I'm there, it's funny. I sit there and I go, I look at Mark and I go, Mark, you feel like we're on vacation. We're sitting there looking at the ocean.
Right. Yeah.
And he's got the bar facing right out. You're looking right at the ocean, man. The boat's coming in and out. And then you go to the pub and you're right, man. That thing is like a really nice Las Olas sports bar. I mean, that thing is fun with great food in there, man. That's good stuff.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Bo, thank you, brother. Really nice having you. I will see you for a little Friday night high school football, St. Thomas Aquinas and Deerfield Beach.
Should be a good one.
Yeah.
Should be a good one.
Deerfield Beach, bring your big boy pants because we want to see a good game. All right.
And then
thank
Anchor
you,
Bar, Anchor Bar this weekend or
and
what?
And then the Anchor Bar.
Anchor Bar this weekend.
Bo, go with me to Anchor Bar.
I know
we will. I think we got some reservations at the Anchor Bar. How about that one, Joe?
Ha, ha, that's beautiful right there.
He likes that. Bo.
Get after it.
Thank you,
Bo.
As always, Bo.
All right, guys.
Kimbo Camper.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was.
Always comes down to us
talking
about
food. By the way, great point that Bo made about Fitzpatrick. If Kilgore, I didn't know Kilgore's, he's making it sound like, if Bo's saying that, Kilgore's out.
Spin the wheel.
And so.
He's coming up next.
They're all that knowledge on that O-line, and for those guards, who do we block? Fitzpatrick would be telling everybody, the big guy in the front that used to play for the Dolphins is pissed off.
Yep.
Hey, we got a lot more coming up. Brian Billick's going to join us about 3 or 4 minutes from now because I run late on everything.
Join Hawk and Crowder today. They're broadcasting live 2 to 6 p.m. at Alfred Olive's Off the Grill on Los Olas Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale, where you can enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner off the grill and a chance to win VIP tickets to the Walgreens Gridiron Grill-Off coming up in November. Hawk and Crowder live today, 2 to 6 p.m., Alfred Olive's Off the Grill on Los Olas Boulevard.
All right, go out and see those guys. Man, John's got great food. John Offerdahl has really, really good food.
All your former teammates. What happened?
He is.
It's unbelievable.
Stuff is really, really good. John
should have invested in
a lot of those guys. You know what? There was a handful of guys who weren't big dummies in business. Those guys, we file bankruptcy here. We try something. We lose $100,000, $150,000, $200,000. And, we're tell you a list of things that people have asked me to get involved in, and I've done. It didn't work, most of them. To the point, at some point in my life, I stopped doing it. and then things that they brought, and I went, nah, I don't think that's going to work. And it worked great.
Flavored bagels?
No, I didn't get invited to be in that. He asked me what I thought. He literally was just passing them out to guys. And
sure.
So I'd like to get your opinion on this. I go, well, it's really good, but bagels are a really bad idea.
Yeah.
They got bagel shops all over here, and it's probably not a good idea. I'm just guessing, not a good idea, right? These guys got this bagel thing figured out.
Womp, womp.
He goes, no, Joe. No, that's why you're a dumbass. I'll be working for somebody your whole life, and I won't. No, he didn't say that. He should have said that,
I wish
though.
He did. That'd
he would
great.
Have said it. By the way, how are we doing the mother-in-law thing that you tried to stir up?
I got some good text for you.
56022. always an interesting one. Yes.
All right, so this one says, first one, they quoted you and goes, I love my mother-in-law. Quote this one. That was good. She's dumb and doesn't know English after 40 years. I'm glad I don't have to talk to her. I get along great with my mother-in-law. I'm white. My wife's Puerto Rican. Her mom doesn't speak English. Perfect relationship. That's from Jason at Homestead. My mother-in-law's a good woman. We used to live across the street from the in-laws. It was too much. Now we're 400 miles away, and it's easier to love her. 101 on mother-in-laws. That's one more W than the Dolphins, Joe. Well done. Mother-in-laws suck. That's another one that came in. Joe, on the bright side of things, once a current wife leaves with everything, you won't have to worry about any in-laws anymore. I get along great with my ex-mother-in-law, especially since I haven't seen her in the last 15 years. Joe, my mother-in-law is one of those rude old bats that will get abused by the staff at her assisted living facility. She deserves it. God, sir, that's not very nice. Jeez, I can't believe I read that one.
Isn't it funny there's this stereotype about mother-in-laws?
Of course there is.
She's the mother-in-law from hell.
Right.
She gets involved in everything.
And worse news than mother-in-laws, Bradley Beal just signed a 2-year, $72 million extension, $36 million a year, and now Ira and the rest of the reporters saying he is off the market for the Miami Heat.
The Heat getting
the dream of Beal is over.
Yeah, a little surprised by that
because
that thing in Washington is a mess.
Woj just went on ESPN, the Get Up, the morning show, whatever it is, and said that he is now committed to the future of Washington. Committed.
You know what? You don't get that very often. Yeah. I think that's going to surprise.
I mean, that could change, though, any day, right? I mean, that could change in a week. Someone could piss him off and he says, I know he signed that extension, but I want out. I mean, that could change, but it's not good for right now.
Well, you're right. It could change. I was thinking about that. I mean, if he really wanted to get after it, he could have done a 4-year or something. If he, well, you really want to show me.
Right now, the deal that he would be on if it started this season would be a 4-year, $130 million deal. Because with what he was making.
Oh, okay.
And now 72 extra. So that's what Woj just pointed out also. It's basically
he's
going to
be set
signed.
For life no matter where he goes. It's just a matter of how important is a championship, which we're seeing with everybody at every level. Wants to chase that championship around, but you get a guy like Bill, I'm a little surprised.
And Ira wrote that it was the potential Miami Heat target into 2021 free agency market. The next time the team is expected to have ample cap space, no longer will be a target. He's now under contract till 2022-23, and it looks like he is focused on staying with Washington.
Yeah. All right, well, we got this season to get through now, so we don't have time to worry. I'm not a big guy. And I know the NBA's the worst about this. Looking ahead, always looking ahead, stories looking ahead to next year. I'm like, can we enjoy this year a little bit? Can we enjoy the regular season playoffs before you decide? At least to the playoffs, and then you can start talking about who the free agents are. But we're always doing that. We're always chasing next year's free agent class. Look at this. I'm like, okay, can we see who can make jumpers this year and how this group plays together? I like this Heat team, by the way. I think this Heat team is...
I think it'll be fun to watch.
Not the most talented team. Yeah. There's some teams that have more talent, but, you know, it's five guys, and it's a bench. I like it a lot. I like the group they put together. Jimmy Butler is so Miami Heat.
Right.
Plays hard
culture
both
guy.
Ways.
Defense, right.
Yeah, we got to stop with culture.
It's
putting
easy.
A band on the word culture. It's although easy. The Heat did start the culture
they
work.
They did. When we talk about the Heat, you could say it. I don't want to talk about Brian Flores talking about culture or the Marlins or the Panthers or something. That's fine.
Every
the Heat could do it.
Buddy, the big boss even mentions culture here. I go, you too?
That's it.
So, yes,
it's
culture,
a good word.
Culture at the seven radio stations is very important. I go, did you just lay culture on me?
You do reason.
My wife the other night having dinner, she goes,
no.
We got to get a little better family culture. And I went, what? Where? Everybody's talking culture.
It's an easy word.
It's an abused word.
Yeah.
Just absolutely abused. Everybody's talking about family culture.
Right.
She goes, I'm tired of dysfunction. I want culture. I go, okay, that's fair.
Thanks.
I don't have a problem with that, Coach Riley.
Yeah.
We got to go to break here because we got Brian Billick going to be joining us here coming up in just a few minutes, former Super Bowl head coach of the Ravens and now working with NFL. He's an analyst, got some shows doing that stuff. What do you got?
It says, I hate my mother-in-law. She's a Patriot fan. They're still coming in. Tom Brady is the Miami Dolphins' mother-in-law.
Oh, man. Tom Brady. I think when he has his retirement, like Dolphin fans, seriously, we should all go and celebrate.
Oh, no. That'll be a day that Dolphin fans, Bills fans, and Jet fans all celebrate.
Nobody
has
abused their division.
Like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
They have done with the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins.
Right. Real quick, Dolphins injury report brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Limited in practice, Jesse Davis, Jakeem Grant, Trent Harris, Xavien Howard, Bobby McCain, Mark Walton, Albert Wilson, full practice, Josh Rosen, doesn't matter. Did not practice, Kilgore, Rashad Jones, and that is your injury report. Oh, full practice, also Charles Harris, doesn't matter. It's all brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine.
Are you taking shots or are you doing injury report?
A little bit of both. All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Brian Billick from the NFL Network going to join us right now for a couple minutes. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Brian, we got a lot of stuff going on. We'll start with the news here in Fort Lauderdale where the NFL was having meetings. Do you think the officiating's been that bad, especially on the new pass interference review?
I don't. You know, first off, let's remember, about this time every year, we kind of have the same discussion, don't we? We're always complaining about where the officials and this call and that bad call, and what do? Do we have full-time officials? Do we add an official to the field? You know, from my perspective, and again, we've talked about it many times, I'm not here to defend the officials. They got $75,000 of my money. So I have no loss. And by the way, so your fans know, they take that money now. That's not a symbolic and, okay, we're going to put slap here. They take the money, okay? Right. So I got a little bit of an edge for the officials. But having said that, you know, this is a fast game, and it's getting faster all the time. I was very pessimistic about the new pass interference interpretation. When I sat and listened to Ron Rivera explain it when I was at the NFL seminar for the NFL Network, I was scared because it was like, boy, this isn't going to go well. This doesn't make sense, and the fans are going to go nuts because the expectation was every pass interference can be challenged, and in their mind, if you want to challenge it, well, then it ought to be overturned. I'm very pleased with the way the league, what they've done is removed the egregious error, not the ticky-tack,
right,
not turning over. Coaches have got the sense, look, if I challenge this, I better know, and I better see, because the officials, if it's close at all, if it's and basically what they see in the replay is probably what they saw on the field is pretty close. They're not going to overturn that. That's the one thing they made very, very clear, and I think the coaches realized during preseason, they're not going to overturn this stuff unless it is truly egregious. So unless it's an absolute pull and hold of the jersey, absolutely early, early contact, the interpretation, if I'm sitting in a bar in Miami and you're sitting in a bar in New England and there's pass interference on the Dolphins, I'm going to see it one way and you're going to see it another. That's right. Not an egregious error. And so I really think they've done a pretty good job with it.
Well, we got, as you know, we've had some coaches. I don't know when they lose, you know, their review. They go, I don't even know what it is anymore. I don't even know. Like, it looked clear to me. And you're right. They want to get the – I guess they're trying to make it clear, although some teams don't seem to get it. But it seems to be – they want to get that Rams call that we saw against the Saints, the really – really bad one.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it should be, and that's a good thing. If you'll remember, and I was part of the group that when we first got replay reinstalled and had to get it past the owner, and I remember Rich McKay talking to Mike Holmgood and I, and I think Mike Shanahan was there, and they said the most important thing, look, it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect. What we want to do is remove the egregious error. The guy stepped out of bounds. Easy to see. The ball bounced in. You know, the Vinny Testaverde sitting on the 1 yard line and it called a touchdown. We want to correct those. And that was a good idea going in, but then what happened? We got kind of caught up in the minutia. Well, if we can correct that, how about we correct this, we correct that? We always saying it about offensive holding, right? You could call offensive holding on every play. Well, you could probably, if you really wanted to, call pass interference on every play on somebody. You really could. But I don't think we want the game called that way. Remember, pass interference, the basic part of the rule says, did someone gain a competitive advantage based on the way they played in terms of jamming, pushing, shoving? You know, we see it all the time on the slant routes. When a DB's in there, he's got his hand on the backside hip of the receiver, and he's reaching around, and people are going, no, that's pass interference. Well, no, if he didn't turn or alter the course of the receiver, just having your hand on the receiver is not a penalty. So I think the officials have got pretty good at it. I think we as fans have got to be careful that with this new rule, do we really want pass interference called on every single play? Because that's what will happen if we get bogged down into the minutia rather than trying to remove the egregious error. And the coaches, I get that. I'm the same way. I don't know what a catch is. I don't know what pass interference is. But all in all, I got to say, I think the officials are doing a pretty good job.
Brian, I don't know if you saw the report this morning, but back specialists all over the country are closing down shop because all it took for Jalen Ramsey's back to get better was a trade to L.A., and all of a sudden he's going to play this weekend. Back doctors out of business. What do you think about that move and now that Jalen Ramsey might be playing this weekend?
You're right. It's amazing how quickly you can correct a migraine and a hamstring pull
right.
And a back. And yeah, I mean, it is amazing. So – yeah, we saw this for what it was. He wanted a new contract. He wanted to be paid. He wanted to get out of the existing like we see so many players do anyway. That's clearly what this is, and that's cool. I get it. And now he's got a new lease on life going to the Rams. And now I'm with the team that really appreciates me. He ought to have a talk with Marcus Peters to see how he feels about the Rams now that he's going to Baltimore. So it's kind of business as usual.
What do you think of giving up 2 ones and a 4 for a guy that's obviously super talented? What do you think? Too much for you or not?
Well, let's see how he plays. You know, if he's a top flight corner, make no mistake about it. And if you can play to that level that he has played, you know, on a team that desperately needs him on that back end and can make the difference for them, no, it's not too much of a price. Because, again, top shutdown corners are hard to come by. But it depends. Does he play up to that? It's like the contract. Is he worth? It's like these quarterbacks. You give him a $100 million contract. Well, you know, is he worth it? Well, if he plays up to it, yeah, probably is.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about a couple of guys here because I thought before the year started, going, you know, we look like the NFL's in really good quarterback shape, and all of a sudden, Jameis Winston's up and down. Andy Dalton is Andy Dalton. Mariota, Tannehill. To me, we had Tannehill a long time. Not bad. Good NFL guys, but I think all these teams are going to be looking, and a lot more, looking for franchise quarterbacks again next year in this draft. Do you agree? Because all these guys are up for, if you sign them, you got to give them big, big contracts. How do you feel about that group of guys I just mentioned?
Yeah, again, kind of business as usual. You know, every year in the draft, we talk about it, and at best, it's a 50-50 crapshoot, and it's kind of playing out that way. Jameis Winston, for as good a coach as Bruce Arians and obviously what they're doing there, this is, you know, at the end of the day, Jameis Winston is Jameis Winston, and he's played enough games. He's done enough that I think we've got, you know, Bill Walsh always felt like by the latter part of their second year, by that 25th, 26th, 27th start, you have an idea whether the guy is a player or not. If it happens before, then great. You know, and you're ahead of the curve. But if it hasn't happened by then, it probably isn't. And with Jameis Winston, we're seeing, you know, for a while there, he had a couple of good games. But boy, he's got the right quarterback whisperer now, and he's really doing well. Well, then he reverted back to his what? And this was Jameis Winston's MO. I'll have a 3-touchdown performance, and then I'll have a 3-interception performance. And it kind of looks to be the same way. Marcus Mariota is a bit of a surprise for me. I really thought Mariota would perform better than this. He clearly is among that group that's going, oh boy, it, for some reason, it doesn't look like it's adding up. So, I'm with you. Some of these guys that have struggled with it, you know, we talked about Baker Mayfield and indeed with the great first year that he had, how was he going to do now being that bravado? And we loved it. We loved the swagger and his ability to throw the ball in. He's willing to do it. Well, he was playing on house money. Now that it really matters, how's he doing? Well, he's sitting here with 5 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. And he's below 60% completion. So, and I'm not saying we should write off Baker Mayfield, but, you know, yeah, we're seeing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're hearing the rest of the story now, and we're seeing over a longer period of time, can you sustain it? So, yeah, as we have said many, many, many times, and we've been doing this show a long time together, finding a quarterback that can truly do it in the National Football League, it's a hell of a crapshoot.
Brian, who's your MVP of the NFL right now if you're put on the spot?
Wow. Well, I think you have to put in 2 categories. I mean, if it, because it's always, how do you not say a quarterback?
Right.
I think Christian McCaffrey deserves a lot of attention. This guy and what he's doing, both out of the backfield, running the ball. You know, if a non-quarterback can win the MVP, Christian McCaffrey's the guy. If you go back to, okay, well, we got to talk about the quarterback. Russell Wilson, what he's doing is spectacular. You know, the next-gen stats, I did a thing on Playbook, and the next-gen stat, and I'm not a big next-gen stat guy necessarily because there's a lot of minutia and data that you go, okay, what do I do with this? What are we really saying? But they've got one now that's kind of interesting. It's called expected completion percentage, and they take the speed of the receiver, the separation from the DB, the time that the ball is in the air, and basically the difficult throws. And who's making the most difficult throws? Who's completing passes that you really shouldn't be completing? And Russell Wilson is far and ahead the best in the league right now. He had, well, we saw that throw in the Thursday night game against LA, right?
As good as you'll see. Wow.
You cannot throw that pass. If that thing would have been intercepted, you'd have had every right to pull him over and going, what are you thinking, man? You can't force the ball in. And yet he gets a touchdown out of it.
Right.
There are some guys, Aaron Rodgers is that way. Pat Mahomes seems to kind of be that way. You know, I did one on Playboard. He rolls to the right, and you never, ever, ever, ever throw back across your body, across the field, blindly to the other side, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, and it gets to Travis Kelce, he pitches back to LeSean McCoy, and it goes for 70 yards. So what it is, the long and short of it, is quarterbacks that can make plays outside the design of an offense. That you can't coach it, you can't teach it, you can't call it, you can't structure it. They just seem to be able to make those kind of plays. Those are the guys we're looking for, and right now Russell Wilson's at the top of that pyramid.
Brian, tell me about the work you're doing with Roman.
Yeah, I'm really proud of my association with Roman right now. This is really, we've talked about it before. This is a heck of a service. We got to take care of ourselves, particularly guys over 40. Guys over 40 haven't been to the doctor on average in 2 years, and that's not right. There's just too much going on. So you get Roman, you get expert medical care. These are licensed physicians. The privacy of online. You can get, getting started, it's simple. You go to getroman.com/coach, and your first visit is free. And you're going to get things addressed. I don't care if it's ED, hair loss, cold sores, whatever. That stuff that needs to be addressed, stuff that you've got to get addressed because it can cascade into bigger things, you got to get it taken care of. And now there's no excuse not to. You can go to GetRoman.com.
All right, and go to GetRoman.com/coach for your first free visit. Coach, as always, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys.
All right, that was Brian Billick from the NFL Network. Join 560 WQAM, the Joe and Modella for a watch party this Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. at Brewfish in Pompano Beach. Enter to win a cooler and a 40-inch TV. That's 3:30, 1 to 3 o'clock this Sunday at Brewfish in Pompano Beach.
All right. Hey, listen, whatever time that is. Hey, we're expecting Devin Bush.
You gave the name out.
To join us in a 9 o'clock hour.
All right.
And so – stay with us. What a great story here in South Florida. And he's got something special going on tonight. Plus, he's just playing unbelievable.
Lights out right now for Pittsburgh.
Lights out,
right?
Middle linebacker for the Steelers. We're expecting him to join us, so we'll jump into everything with him. And what a special year it's been for him so far.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.